See, because, you know, we get to see what happened, the decoration and all the stuff that got put up. But what then people don't see is Jan took down the bulk of the Christmas decorations, and then she went next door into the storage rooms. You know, the rooms where not a lot of people go. It's not because we won't let you. It's just not a lot of people go there. And she went through all of the Christmas decorations that have added up over the years and sorted through them and organized them and stuff, and some things went bye-bye, you know. But just a great big thank you, Jan. That is so appreciated. It truly is. So praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we love you. We thank you for the word. We thank you that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Father, how we treat the word is how we treat Jesus. And Father, he said that if he didn't go away, he wouldn't send the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't send the Comforter. But he went away and he sent the Comforter. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Helper, the Counselor, the Standby, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Intercessor. He sent him to us. And so, Father, today, with reverence, we let the Holy Spirit teach us. We let the Holy Spirit guide us. And we let your word feed us. And we let your word bring light and revelation and inspiration. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I sort of might kind of pick up where I left off last week. We'll see how well it ties together. But, oh, I wanted to do this first. Lori isn't here, but I got blessed this morning. And part of the theme today, part of what will come through today is the little things. The little things. You know, a favorite verse of mine in the Old Testament is, catch the little foxes. The little foxes that eat the tender grapes and spoil the vine. You know, lots of times it's the little things in life that actually end up doing great damage. But you know what? The flip side of that is true. The little things in life win great victories. Anybody ready for a pop quiz? Some of you are going to know right where I'm going, and some of you don't. And that's okay. Some of you have never had this pop quiz before. But if you know the answer, you can simply raise your hand. The little things in life will win great victories. You got Moses. See, some of you knew right where I was going. You got Moses. He's up on top of the mountain. You got Joshua down on the battlefield, and he's fighting. And as long as Moses can hold up his hands with the rod in his hands, he realizes Joshua is winning down on the battlefield. But his hands get heavy and he can't hold up the rod, and the rod comes down and he realizes Joshua is losing the battle. So he gets his hands back up. Now, how many times did he do this? I mean, he might have been in the longest, you know, lifting routine you ever saw. I don't know, but you can see the struggle going on. And there's two men standing there next to him, and they take Moses and they sit him down on a rock and then they hold up the rod. How many of us in here, if you know the answer, if you remember the answer, we've done it a number of times in this church, if you remember the answer, just raise your hand. Don't say the names out loud. How many of you in here can remember the names of the two men that stood there? Okay, we're getting better. We're getting better. We got one, we got two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven of us in here can remember those two guys' names. For me, this is a fascinating thing about the little things. Is it a big deal to stand there and hold up someone's hand? Or have you ever listened to people tell war stories? A lot of guys who go to war, they won't talk about war. My dad would. My dad would tell war stories. He was in World War II, and he shared a lot of stories, and he usually found the humor in them. My dad was a great storyteller and loved to laugh, enjoyed that. But I loved hearing his stories, his war stories. And I can just imagine listening to Joshua and the other guys down on the battlefield talking about their great exploits that day, talking about how one guy came after him this way and they ducked down, and you know, all the different moves they made and how this fellow saved that fellow and all this stuff. I can just hear them telling their war stories after a great victory. Do basketball players, football players ever tell stories after they win a big game? Oh yeah, yeah. And every little part makes a difference. But they're telling their stories. Yet who won the battle that day? I believe it was the two men holding up Moses' hands. Because as long as they were held up and that rod was there, they win. As soon as it comes down, they lose. Those two guys. And I find it interesting. Lots of times we don't remember their names. But God did. Wrote it down. All those little things, they might not seem like much. You know, and somebody looked at one of those two guys and said, "So what did you do?" "Well, I held up Moses' hand." "Wow." "Whoop, whoop." But really, that's why you won. Because Aaron and Hur stood there and held up Moses' hands till they won the battle. Amen? Those little things. And today when we were walking around this morning, I saw something. And I appreciate this with people. There were people who were walking around today, greeting, loving on people, hugs, all that stuff. That's awesome. But also listening to the Holy Spirit and sharing a word of life from the Father with someone else. And just for me to get to watch that as a pastor, to see that life flowing back and forth just through conversations and individuals speaking a word to one another is huge. And then Dorothy, I'm reminded, I wish Lori was here, but Joe, you're going to have to pass it on to her. Okay, you're going to have to share. But Lori, Dorothy, will you come up and just, I'm going to give you a mic so people can hear you well. And maybe you don't want to come all the way out, but you don't mind. No, you're a...
Do I have a choice?
No, not really. Hold that thing nice and close to your mouth so we get to treat it like an ice cream.
Anyway, I sat alongside of Lori last Sunday. And pastor had, at the end of the service, he had said to raise your hand if you're hurting or whatever. And I had had a tough week. I got the snow all scooped out, and then the snow plows came through and threw all the frozen snow in three driveways for me. So anyway, I got that scooped out. And then I had CPR class for 8 hours on Saturday. Needless to say, my shoulders were trashed, my neck, my spine. And I was putting my necklace on that morning and trying to do my makeup. And it was just like a voice said, "Well, you're not going to be raising your hands today." And I thought, whatever. But anyway, Lori knew that I was hurting. And I thought, well, I'm raising my hand. If it kills me, I'm raising my hand. But I did have to take my left hand and push my right arm up. And once I got it past that point, I was okay. But then when I bring it down. And so anyway, I raised my hand, and then Lori was beside me, and she just very gently touched my back. I could barely feel her. And Lisa Parson was there praying with me. And I felt so warm, just not hot, but just a soothing warmness. And so anyway, then after we had prayed, then I just went like this. Mm-hmm. And Lori started to cry. And I guess I would encourage you that, you know, it's wonderful to come up here and have these experienced people pray with you. But right where you're at, you know, mm-hmm. the Lord would have me. I had to go to work. I have 23 and 4-year-olds that I help. I'm a teacher's aide. And I had to do that on Monday, and I was not looking forward to it. And I was able to go to work. You know, we still believe in doctors. We still believe in medicine. But, you know, just take advantage of it. It's amazing. You know, it was such a blessing to her, you know, because she's the one that laid the hands on me. God uses all of us. Amen. If we're just willing to just go out there, do it.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Isn't that awesome? See, I just think it's amazing with all the things that happen right when we're standing next to each other, and we might not even know how supernatural something is, you know, just standing there gently, you know, just crossed a person's back, and the healing power of God is at work. And could you see anything visible with the eye? No. But is God at work? Yeah. You know, he's at work. He's doing things. Hallelujah. And I just, with this, you might call this morning's message the gift. The gift. The gift that's in you. The gift that you are. And get your Bibles opened up to Colossians chapter 1. And over several weeks, I've given you three prayers repeatedly, two of them found in Ephesians, and this last one is found in Galatians. And I want to just read it a little bit to get started here and look at what we're playing. Colossians chapter 1. This is a prayer that we want to pray for the saints. We want to be praying for each other, because the gifts that are inside of you, the talents that are inside of you, the things that are in you that God wants to use and God wants to work through to make a difference in people's lives is just gigantic. It's just huge. You know, by the mile, it's a trial. By the inch, it's a cinch. You know, you just add all those little things together, and it's amazing how much gets done. And it's interesting what we call little. You know, we'll call stuff little, but God calls it big. Despise not the day of small beginnings. You know, I love this verse of scripture in the Old Testament with Daniel, and it says, and the people who know their God will be strong and carry out great exploits. And I like to ask the question, what are great exploits? And usually in our mind's eye, we think about somebody who, you know, travels to a foreign land and does these big crusades or all these things. But I like to just put it this way. Great exploits are whatever God is asking me to do. And I think it's fascinating that Rahab, the harlot, hid two spies. And that got her into the book of Hebrews chapter 11. You know, whatever we do by faith, whatever we do by the leading of God, those are great exploits. And they don't have to look spectacular. They don't have to be grand. I believe sometimes we do a real disservice to the everyday, what we call little things that people do, in that we don't celebrate those things. We don't give them place. We don't recognize their value and importance. We love the spectacular. We love the stuff that's going to put on a big show. You know, the testimonies that are like, wow. But I love Dorothy's testimony. You know, just taking place in our setting here, no fanfare, no nothing, but there God is working. Amen. So this morning is just to encourage us, those things that you do, maybe nobody sees them, but God sees them. You know, here's another one I just love. A while ago, I think 3 weeks ago or so, and Jan, if you'll help me with the name, but Jan just had it on her heart, she just wanted to do it, to teach classes to high school kids about proper manners at the dinner table, at the lunch table. So she teaches a class at high school. I mean, how many children, how many young adults show up?
This is the third year I've done it.
Four seniors. And do you get all of them?
Yeah.
She gets all of them. Are they thrilled to be there? And was there that one young man, did he think he would use them, or where was he at before he took them?
Reese Kelly.
But how many of you saw the article in the paper with Reese Kelly? Yeah. And the setting, there was some formal dinner for military, ROTC, and he knew how to conduct himself. He knew what was the etiquette for that setting. And when he comes back, he's got to thank you for Jan. Just thanking her for doing that class. And at first he thought, oh, come on, typical teenage boy maybe. You know, but see, and here it is. There's a relationship that's established there. There's a friendship that's established there. Where will that go? What will that accomplish? I know Jan prays for him. She has an opportunity. Wow. Don't undervalue those little things that you do that maybe nobody sees or nobody gives you credit for, but God sees it. God's watching it. He's well aware of it. And be praying for us. Would you all be praying for us? There's that verse of scripture, Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Till Christ is formed in you. Laboring in prayer. Till Christ is formed in you. These are great prayers to pray. And just listen to one, this verse of scripture, this prayer, and tell me if you wouldn't like someone praying it for you. Colossians 1, starting at verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. Now, remember this. Paul is praying for believers here. This is a prayer for believers. He's praying for saints. We do not cease to pray for you and ask. I hear people say, oh, I don't know how to pray. Well, here you go. pray this prayer repeatedly, over and over for folks. Pray it every day for people. Ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Question for you. Is prayer going to be required in order for us to be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Obviously, it's going to play a significant role because Paul prayed it. There's that supernatural that's working that we can't see. How many of you would like to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Can I get a show of hands? And this is a serious question because I'm going somewhere with it. How many of you would like to be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Raise your hand, please, and hold it up for a while. Wow. You know what? Kind of like what I thought would happen. Look around. Every hand is up in this place. In other words, everybody in this place would love to have this happen in their life. So in other words, they would love to have you praying for them. Amen? Praying for them. Now, I wonder if God will answer this prayer. And this is the confidence that we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us and gives us, grants us the petition that we have asked of Him. This is absolutely in line with His will. And this is the confidence we have in Him. I can pray this prayer with absolute confidence that He hears me and He's pouring out His wisdom. Glory to God. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now listen to this. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord. Anybody in here want to have a walk worthy of the Lord? Oh yeah. What came before it? Wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? So we can walk that out, so we can live that out, so it affects our everyday life. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Yay! Fully pleasing Him. Please pray for me. How many of you in here would look at somebody and say, please pray for me? Please pray for me. Put this on your calendar. Put this in your phone. Think of me and pray for me. Why? Because God will hear it and He will answer it. Fully pleasing Him and being fruitful. It just keeps getting better. I love the thought of being fruitful. Being fruitful in every good work. How many of us hit situations and we don't know what to do? What if someone was praying for us that we had wisdom and spiritual understanding? And then when we hit those situations and we don't know what to do, all of a sudden now we have revelation and we're being fruitful in that situation where in and of ourselves we don't have the answer, but somebody was praying for us. Somebody was praying for us. Somebody was interceding for us. And the fullness of Christ is being developed on the inside of us. Fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. That's kind of interesting. For all patience and long-suffering. Well, what does that verse of Scripture indicate? We're going to need patience and long-suffering. Is going to be there. Oh, yay. Whoop, whoop. I'm so glad. With joy. Anybody in here ever felt like you have encountered long-suffering? Now see, you can encounter long-suffering with joy or without joy. Can I tell you something? It's much better with joy. It's much better with joy. And you know, some things, you just know you're going to encounter them. Well, long-suffering, we're going to hit it sometimes. I want to have the patience to get through that long stretch. And I want to have joy in the middle of it because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Wow, what prayers do for us. Long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Turn and look at somebody and say, He's qualified you. He's qualified you. Turn and look at him and say, you are qualified by Jesus. Amen. How many of us have to battle with not feeling qualified? We do. We have to battle with it. We don't feel qualified. We don't measure up. We're not, you know, as good as somebody else, and all of that stuff goes on. We just don't feel qualified yet. I wonder if we start praying these prayers, we'll realize that in Jesus Christ we're qualified. In and of ourselves, we realize that nothing comes from ourselves. But he has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter that kills, but of the spirit that gives life. Glory, thank you, Father. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Praise God. Amen. Praying that for everybody. Praying it on a regular basis. Now, if you would, please take in your Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And I don't know if I've got a number of scriptures written down in my notes today where it says for fun. Do you ever like to do stuff for fun? I have verses of scripture I like to go to and I like to preach and talk about because it's fun. Because it's fun. This verse of scripture that we're going to go to now, it's really close to one of those, and I have barely scratched the surface of this verse of scripture. And then, Teresa, how close are you to getting ready to play that video? You're whenever? All right. I got a video that I'm going to have Teresa play in a little bit, and I found it on a news channel, and it's a FedEx driver's story of something that they did, and it's just really good. In fact, you know what? We could go ahead and do that now, and Mark or Sherry, would you just turn out, like, all the lights? And then, play that. What did she do? She had that little prompting from the Lord. She stopped her route. She turned around. She went back. She hugged a lady and prayed with a lady. Yet, it has an eternal impact. It had a profound difference. You can just tell by listening to her what it meant in her life. Guys, what that stuff does for people. Don't ever let anybody devalue those things that God puts on your heart to do, even though they maybe don't have much, seem to have much significance. Because you don't know how far it's going to go. You don't know how many people it's going to impact. This thing has already had, I think, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of hits. So how many people are getting impacted by it? You know, I bet she was prompted to put it on internet as well. I'm glad she did. Don't let anything or anyone devalue those small things. I think we ought to celebrate them. I do. I believe we ought to celebrate those things that God puts on our heart. Jenny, I'm echoing a little bit. So, hallelujah. You got your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 4? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Wow. As each one has received a gift, the gift. What's your gift that you've received? Maybe it's a hug for somebody. Maybe it's a short prayer for somebody. It's still echoing, Jenny. Okay, thanks. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. So who are we talking about today? We're talking about us today, amen? Each one of us has received a gift. I love this. This is barely scratched the surface of this verse of scripture. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. To who? To one another. Did you know I got to see this going on earlier today in this church building? I got to see people ministering to one another. And something I'm really hoping we do as a body of believers, we celebrate the big things, we rejoice in the big miracles and the radical things that take place, and we don't diminish those things in going after the little things, but at the same time we celebrate the little things and we don't diminish them because we're just looking at the big stuff. We place value on everything that the Father has us to do for somebody else. No matter how small it might seem, no how insignificant it might seem, we place value on it. Because you know what happens if we don't place value on it? If it's not valuable, why bother? Guys, that's good. If it's not valuable, why bother? The amount of value we place on the gifts will be the energy, it will be the effort that we put towards it. Anybody in here ever got a new vehicle? How much value did you place on that thing? How many of you had a new vehicle and for the longest time you kids could not eat or drink in that new vehicle? Can I get a show of hands? There's a bunch of you out there. They could not. 3 years later, could the kids eat and drink in it? Yeah, they could. Why? Because the value went down. It wasn't as important. So it wasn't needing the same attention. Is there anything that God has given us or that He's called us to do that is not valuable? Nothing. But what does the enemy try to do again? Over and over constantly, he tries to devalue. He tries to devalue those things that God has given us. He tries to devalue the Word of God. He tries to cause confusion. Did God really say? That's what the serpent said to Eve in the garden. Did God really say? Did He really say that? What's the enemy trying to do? Diminish and undermine the things of God. Yeah, God really said. He really said you're valuable. He really said you're important. It's just good for this to sink in, I think. Let's just say to yourself, I am valuable. The gift in me matters. I matter. Go ahead, say it. I matter. I matter. I make a difference. I'm valuable. I'm important. Father loves me. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How many of you have taken time to really ponder on this gift and dig and look at it a little bit? It's just so incredible how rich and full this verse of scripture is. That last part, as good stewards of what? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How valuable is God's grace? Well, let's just do this. By grace, you are saved through faith. So does salvation in someone's life take place without involvement of grace? No, it does not. Now watch. As good stewards, what are we supposed to be? What are we? Good stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. What's a steward? You know, the definition. What's a steward? What's a steward do? What would be some words that would help describe and paint a picture of what a steward is? Takes care of. Service. Could we say it this way? In charge of something. The overseer of something. So this verse of Scripture says that we're in charge of the manifold grace of God. In other words, God's grace is under our care. Wow. And I just quoted one verse. By grace you are saved through faith. How about where the Apostle Paul was in the middle of a trial? He's in the middle of a battle. He prays three times that, you know, this thing might depart from him. And the Lord speaks to his heart and says, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul goes from pleading, and if you read the scripture, right here, Paul's pleading. Right here, the Lord speaks to him. Right here, Paul goes, most gladly, therefore. Paul is in the middle of such a battle. He's pleading with the Lord. I want out of this. 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 God, get me out of this. Get me out of this. I can't take it. God, get me out of this. And that doesn't do it justice. And God speaks to his heart and said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul goes, most gladly, therefore. That's a pretty fast change in a short period of time. And what made the difference? Grace. What are we stewards of? Grace. The manifold grace of God. Do you mean to tell me that you and I, we could have words to speak to somebody who's ready to throw in the towel? And we could speak to them and they go from throwing into the towel to victory? Like that? And all we did was say some words. All we did was speak something. All we did was be the mouthpiece of Jesus. All we did was turn around on our route and go back and wrap our arms around somebody and, can I pray for you? Wow, in the grace of God. Whew. You know what? God's got faith in us. He's got a belief that we can do it when we tap into him, amen? How many of you see yourself as this valuable, what we're talking about right here? Do you see yourself having that kind of value, that kind of worth, that kind of impact in the world? I think that's where we need to be praying for each other, till Christ is formed in us. All right. Here's one of those fun verses for fun. Just going to go to a verse of scripture for fun. So that, I hope everybody smiles. If we're going there for fun, I like it. It's amazing to me, Ephesians. Head over to Ephesians, please. I read this one not too long ago. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. I just like to reap it. As each one has received a gift. Turn and look at somebody and say, I have a gift. Amen. As each one has received a gift. Each one. There's nobody in here who's left out. Amen. Each one. You can't say not me and be right. You can say not me and be wrong. But each one in here has received a gift. And remember, it doesn't have to be grand. Doesn't have to be spectacular. It doesn't have to be on stage. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Minister it to one another as faithful stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whew. Wow. Ephesians 3:10. I love this. I like verses like this. To the intent. Everybody say, to the intent. The reason I like it, it's pretty clear. This is what God intended. How many of you like knowing what he intended? Well, to the intent. This is what he wants to have happen. This is what he's expecting. This is what he is looking forward to. This is what he enjoys watching. Yeah, that's what I intended to have happen. Yeah, that's what I intended Kenny to do. Praise God. Thank you, Kenny. You know, I can just see the Father up there. You know, and you could do this. Thank you, Rahab. That's what I intended for you to do, to hide them two spies. Thank you. You know, there's so many areas. And then this even expands it more beyond that. To the intent that now the manifold, it's interesting, the last two verses we looked at, the word manifold was in there. Manifold grace of God, manifold wisdom, many-sided. How many of you know there's a lot to it? Whew. Manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Who? Us, you and me. God's got some confidence in us. He's got some beliefs and some expectations. And do you know what? Oh, this is good. Do you know what? He's right. Turn to look at somebody and say, God's right. God's right. He's right. Did you know that the church wins? The church wins. Glory to God. We win. Go big scale. We win. Remember what Jesus said? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Against what? And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Shall not prepare. Prevail. Thank you. Lost that word. Shall not prevail against it. I think I'm the only one getting excited about this. I'm about ready to. Glory to God. All of these scriptures, God is right. He is right to the intent that the church will make known. We will make known. We will be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We will let His grace flow through us and people will get saved. We will let His grace flow through us and people will, who were once in despair, turn around and walk in great victory. And it might turn around that quick. And what I love about Paul, and when he was pleading with the Lord, nothing around him about his circumstances changed. But yet everything changed. Everything changed. Because Paul knew that what God gave him through that grace was more than enough. Wow. Hallelujah. Turn to look at someone and say, I'm winning. What are you in the middle of? Do you see yourself winning? Because see, I can sit here and I can look out. And I know some of the things that people are in the middle of. I know how hell is coming against. I know how hell is hitting. But you know what? The gates of hell shall not prevail. You think God's right? How many of you think God's right?
Amen.
Well, glory to God. Amen. He's right. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Why do I get so excited about that? Because it speaks about our victory. It speaks about us overcoming in whatever we're doing. And it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be grand. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to quit, but I don't want to. And here's when I'm going to quit. As soon as we get done with Romans, a verse in Romans. I'm trying to listen on the inside as I talk. Romans. I think I want Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. How many of you have an idea of the gift that you have? How many of you have an idea of the gift that you have? I'm not getting many hands raised or even up a little bit. You know, I'm looking for some feedback here, communication. You have an idea of the gift that you have, okay? Have an idea. Therefore, minister it. You know, I want everybody to know with certainty the gift that they have. And like I wrote in my notes, I'm quite sure there's more than one gift inside of each and every one of us. Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul says in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." To think accurately about yourself. Don't be overinflated. Don't be underinflated. Think soberly. Think soberly. Think accurately of yourself. Well, this is who I am. This is what I do. And there's nothing wrong to think accurately of yourself according to God. It's not pride. It's not arrogance. It's just being truthful. And in one sense, it's humble. It's being humble. Just to acknowledge the truth. Well, this is who I am. I submit to what God says about me, and this is who I am. All right. Think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. For we, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. What's your function? What's your gifting? What's that gift that's on the inside of you? Remember last week, I so appreciate the worship team. They didn't want to do it. It's hard for them, but they did it. And then Janine Gould, she was talking and watching people's faces. But for those of you that weren't here last Sunday, I asked the worship team to do something for me. And each one of them, prior to doing this, picked out a song, and they were prepared to sing it, play it, you know, with their instrument or with their voice, but each one of them had a different song, and they didn't know the different songs that other people had. So they're all up here, and they all start singing and playing different songs at the same time. What did y'all think out there when you were seeing that happen? Say that again.
It was a mess.
It's a mess. It's a mess. You know, was it what you were expecting? No. Was it making the sense that it was supposed to make? And the worship team, they didn't want to do it, but thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, when they get up here and do stuff, they want it to sound good, and they want people to be able to join in and to start singing. You know, they just want it to work like that, but they did that. As each one has a gift with different functions. You know, did you know every person up here last Sunday when they were doing what they were doing during that illustration, they were all playing just fine? And they were all singing just fine. They were. But it wasn't all on the same page. This is a goal of mine. And I realize this is something I've taught before. This is, and going to teach it in depth. I have a sense here for a while. It's probably the fifth or sixth time over the years with some in-depth teaching on this and people finding their gifts and operating in them. And then us as a body coming together and functioning that way. Why? Because to the world, it'll have an impact. It'll make a difference. I think sometimes the church world is so spastic and chaotic and all over the place that the world looks at the church and goes, what the heck are they about? Yet you got all these beautiful gifts just not working together in harmony. To find all our unique gifts and abilities and work together in harmony and complement one another. You know, the bass can complement the drums and the drums can complement the piano and everything can come. Did you know we can complement each other? And that we shouldn't be in competition with each other? I know when I played basketball, there's a lot of guys that were a lot better shots than I was. A lot of guys that had a lot better athleticism than I did. You know one of my favorite things to do? Is to go over here and set a good pick for this guy that had a nice three-point shot and give him the space that he needed so he could get up and push. Because you know what? We're on the same team. And you know what I want to do? I want to win. How many of you want to win in your faith? It's building each other up. It's complementing each other. It's seeing the different gifts in each other and making room for that gift and maybe helping that gift shine. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 4, as we have many gifts in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. But having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in prophesying in proportion to our faith, or in ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who serves with mercy, he who shows mercy and cheerfulness, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. I gotta quit. I'm trying to make myself stay up here, but it isn't. Have you gotten anything out of this today? I feel like I'm ending really awkward, but I do believe that God has spoken some stuff to your heart. I believe a value is that you have has sank in a little bit deeper, a little bit more. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up.